Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, it's a new year, and we want you to be as relaxed as possible.
Plus, Apple's revamping Beats, iOS software woes, and are you ready for the return of Frogger?
I think so. All that, and get the best seats, you geeks, on iPad Today.
This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable and hip underwear you'll ever wear. Check out all the styles and get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/twit. And by Lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/iPad Today. That's LYNDA.com/iPad Today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iPad Today. I'm Harpo Marx.
I am Harpo Marx's friend,
Sarah.
So, okay, we just in case you weren't, on the internet or weren't, part of Twitch 24
sang
hour.
One week.
That's true.
Very nicely.
Not really. That was bad. That's a hard song to sing. And I was like, I've got enthusiasm, so you don't have to worry about that. But I had a hard time keeping up.
I blame you and Jeff Jarvis for what happened to me. So we were raising money for UNICEF.
What happened to you, Leo? You look perfectly normal. Was there an incident of some kind?
So we were raising money for UNICEF. And by the way, thank you, everybody. This was our 24-hour marathon. Last year, we just did it for fun. This year, we did it for a good cause, the United Nations Children's Fund. And we raised over $70,000. I think we're going to get to $75,000. We're waiting for all the payments in the auction to come in. $61,000 in cash. But our original goal when we started out was $20,000 in cash.
Yeah.
And Jeff Jarvis said, we could do that. I'll tell you what, if you hit 20,000, I'll shave this beard I've had for 42 years. We did. He did. Then you very gamely chimed in. It was your idea, right?
No. I would never suggest that for myself.
But so somebody chimed in for you. Well, if we get 30,000, Sarah Lane will sing her least favorite song in the world.
That's right. 1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies.
And you did it beautifully.
Well, it's for charity, right? It's not about
right.
me.
And that's the problem, is that both you and Jeff really went all out. And I felt that for $40,000, I should offer something of value.
Sure, because at the time... Now, Dr. Evil, you've never looked nicer. You really... honestly... That's the first thing I thought of.
1 million.
Yes.
You know what I found? So I've shaved my head, for those of you listening. What I found is that you can date people by who they think I look like.
Okay.
Old folks think I look like Daddy Warbucks from Annie.
Okay.
Medium old folks think I look like Kojak or Mr. Clean.
Ah.
As you get younger, it changes.
So I say Dr. Evil because I'm in my 30s.
Youngest folks think I look like Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. I need a goatee and a pork pie hat for that.
Well, come on. Now we're just saying if you're a bald man, you look like Heisenberg.
Who am I now? Who loves you, baby?
A baby? I don't know.
It's Kojak.
I don't know who that is.
No, Kojak is.
No, who
again,
is
Again, too old for you.
Who is he?
You know who Mr. Clean is, right?
Yeah, he's a detergent.
Telly Savalas played a detective on TV called Kojak.
Oh, so it was a TV show called Kojak.
His catchphrase was, "Who loves you, baby?"
Never even heard that before.
And he would be sucking a lollipop all the time.
Well, maybe I have heard that before, but I didn't know it was referencing anything. Yeah, I thought it was just, Now, you mentioned before the show started that being hairless lends itself to being cold.
See?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
It does. So I will never again question the evolutionary necessity of body hair, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Don't you wonder why we have hair in some places, but not in others?
Certain body hair, I feel, is less,
useful?
Yeah. And, that just...
Well, eyebrows, what do? They keep the rain out of your eyes.
Well, they keep the dust out of your eyes,
too.
Yeah,
because it's dribbling down your
eyebrows,
forehead.
Eyelashes, it's all helping
our... So it turns out...
I don't know, whatever the name of that word for eyes is, something with an O. or
your ocular socket
glands. Yeah.
Turns out that if you don't have hair covering your head, a couple of things happen. First of all, you get massive. You thought I was rubbing my microphone. That's my head.
No, something is rubbing though. Is it me?
No, it's me. But listen.
Oh no, it's me.
You can
That was me the whole time. I'm sorry.
So hair does two things. It keeps you warm. I have to wear a cap at night. I'm so cold. It also keeps the sun off. Fortunately, I have a wide selection of hats to wear. So I'm going to wear an app cap a little early today.
Please do.
If you don't mind.
Help us all. Help us help you. I
can't decide which is worse, this or my bald pate.
I think this is worse.
Really?
Yeah. What's nothing wrong with a bald head? I like bald. Bald's fun, you know? It says, I don't take myself too seriously.
I don't take myself too seriously.
And you never have.
Lex Luthor is another one. You get that a lot. And there were two Lex Luthors. There was Kevin Spacey and Gene Hackman.
Now, I don't need you to show it to me, but I know you did also get a tattoo on your body.
I didn't want you to be the only one on this show with a tattoo.
Well, and how did that work out for you?
It was okay.
Yeah. It's small.
I got a unicorn riding a moose. I wanted to celebrate our
little pedestrian,
Scandinavian friends from the
north.
Yeah. No, I got a Twit logo, of course, and it's not very big. It didn't hurt very much. In fact, frankly, I'm more itchy on my head than I am on my tuchus.
Right, because of the hair growth, I suppose. You know what? Okay.
Now I'm going to have a race between my face hair and my head hair and see which grows fastest.
Okay.
So I'm not shaving anything for a while.
And just see, and as it all sort of goes out Chia Pet style, we can, watch the evolution on the show.
We are doing a time lapse. We decided to do a time lapse.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Already, this is more than anybody cares to know about my head. So let's talk about the iPad, because this is not Leo's head today.
No, it's iPad today. Although somehow we'll figure out how to blend the two. And we got a really nice email over the last week from Tamara, who is French Lady Nerd in our chat room. If you have seen French Lady Nerd there. And she says, this is a really heartfelt email. She says, I have actually a panic attack disorder, anxiety disorder, it could also be known as, where you get panic attacks frequently and sometimes for no reason at all.
I know it very well. I've known several people, close family members have had that.
Yeah? She says, I've found that iOS can be a great tool in combating these. There's music, there's obviously the ability to get in contact with people who can help, but sometimes that's not enough or my support system is unavailable. So I've found two apps which really help in offering me relief. The first was recommended to me by a friend. It's called the SAM app, S-A-M, which stands for Self-Help for Anxiety Management.
How great.
Developed by the University of Western England, and it's an app for tracking anxiety and triggers, and there's even a section called Help for Anxiety Now, which has some exercises like deep breathing, that sort of thing.
They call it CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy.
Yeah.
And it helps you manage it by knowing what the triggers are and then having tools that reduce it. And I think that's great. That's a great way, not drug-related, really, of handling it. Nothing wrong with taking medication if it helps. But it's great to have something to hand. So, Sam, can we take a look at that?
Yeah. Let's take a look at it right now. This is actually an iPhone app. So, it's you're going to have to blow it up a little bit on the iPad. But again, it's really about the message, not what it looks like too much.
This is so widespread, I think. Especially in this day and age, it's a great thing to have.
I wouldn't say that I've ever had a panic attack, but I certainly have anxiety.
You would know. If you have one, you feel like you're dying.
Yeah.
It's very serious.
I don't think I've ever had anything like that. But I think that a lot of us can relate to those pressures in life. You've got your moments, that sort of thing. So here she mentioned Help for Anxiety Now, which is one of the, it's basically a series of exercises where you can say, okay, all right, so here I'm going to read this twice slowly. Panic is an intense form of anxiety, normal response to stress. Panicky feelings are uncomfortable, but they will subside. And that's something that you kind of have to remind yourself, especially when you're in the moment. You go ahead and do a calm breathing exercise for 5 minutes, that sort of thing. You've got, you can picture something that you find very peaceful. You can change your focus. That's, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to finish the spreadsheet on time. Maybe what you need to do is just focus on something else for 1 to 5 minutes. Okay, so these are a variety of levels that you will go through as you continue using the app. Or you could kind of say, all right, you know what I should do? I should start making a note of when things seem bad and figure out how there's a pattern, if there is. Am I having feelings of anxiety and tension? You know, maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Am I worried? All the time. Unpleasant physical sensations? Those I don't have. Avoiding things I fear? Yeah, I certainly do that right now. Go ahead and save it. Now, I've saved another anxiety level today. Yeah, so I'm starting now to build something that I can go back to and say, yeah. You know, it seems like Monday mornings are really hard for me. I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders, you know, that sort of thing. Now, as you save certain things that you find beneficial, that will start going into your toolkit. I haven't added any of those yet because I don't have enough data in here. But then you can also start tracking your anxiety. So you start to see these are the data points of what I had entered today. So, for example, you know, my worrying thoughts are purple. As the days go on, this is January 5th, obviously, then you'll start to see a graph of that sort of thing. So I think, really, oh, and also things that make me anxious. So, for example, I said fear of failure. This is something that I entered for myself. Now, you know, I could delete that, or I could say that's something that always makes me anxious. I hate, you know, feeling like a failure. Traffic, that's another thing that makes me anxious. Those are totally two different things, right? But they still, together sometimes, make me feel worse than just the one. So it's cumulative. Now I can say, all right, well, let's go ahead and give myself a little reminder that when I'm in traffic and I'm starting to go nuts, you know, unpleasant physical sensations, yeah, I start to get, like, really claustrophobic. Okay. You have anxiety with that name. Oh, I see what you're saying. So yeah, it's asking me I would have to change the name of it if I wanted to edit it. Basically, I'm in edit mode right now, but I think it's really nice. I think this is a great tool again for anybody. As you said, Leo, you know it if you've got anxiety issues.
Oh, there's not a question. Yeah,
and
that's, by the way, don't self-diagnose. You would know it.
You would. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's a little anxious. That's normal. But
right.
Anxiety, panic attack and anxiety disorders are very serious.
Exactly. Now, this is obviously, it's not going to replicate, you know, help from a trained professional. This is something that is, you know, as Tamara wrote us, this is something that has helped her as somebody who has experienced some of this before. So I thought, well, why not? Why not pass it along to our crew? And it is free. So, you know, there's only benefits from kind of learning a little bit more about how behaviors and patterns work.
Thanks to the University of the West of England.
I know. In Bristol, I believe it is.
Tamara goes on to write, the second game is a game called Strata, which is a very simple ribbon layering game. The graphics are beautiful. The game is structured in such a way, if you play the levels in order, that you have to progressively focus more and more and calm down in order to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's cool.
I want this.
Well, you know, this is a $3 app, $2.99 in the App Store. It's iPad native. And I went ahead and said, well, this sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah.
Because I hate games that contribute to anxiety. That's why so many of the games, and I think even your AppCap that you're going to be talking about later, are tough for me.
Yes, that's true.
Because
you don't like my game.
I can't handle it.
They make you anxious.
That's right. Okay, so this is, I'm a few levels deep right now, so I will do my best to explain because this actually was sort of hard for me at first. The idea is that you've got these blue and purple squares, and you have to lay ribbons on top of them. Now, you can go ahead and either select purple or blue, right? So if I say purple, okay. All right, here we go. And
ooh, I like the music too. I'm calmed by the music.
Yeah, yeah. Now for blue. Okay, and then we go and say purple here.
See, this is making me anxious.
Is it?
It's a little bit. You know, I always feel pressured in test situations, right?
Well.
So this may not be for everybody.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. And wave one. What is going on? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got into the next level here. Okay, so let's go ahead and say next set. All right. So the idea of this is that it is supposed to be a calming exercise. See, now it's getting harder. Now I got three colors.
It's so beautiful.
It is. The nice thing that okay, level one. Here we go. Okay, so hints can solve this puzzle. Yeah, well, you know, we'll try not to have hints here. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I guess you're going to show me. All right, okay. So, all right, now it's getting a little bit more complicated. And as Tamara said, yeah, this does require some focus because I'm laying down ribbons on top of squares, and I need the top ribbon to reflect the color of the square under it
if I'm explaining that correctly, and I hope that I am. Now, I've been playing this long enough so that it sort of seems like I know what I'm doing, but it took me a while. I was really confused at first. Now, here I've got sort of an issue, so I think I need that guy. And okay, all right, good. Good work, Sarah. I know, I'm not explaining this very well, am I? I do think that Tamara is onto something, though, in the sense that...
Do you feel calm?
Yeah.
You feel calm?
I kind of do. Oh, wait, did I mess up? Oh, man.
Oh.
Crap. See, this is a game that is frustrating if you're the kind of person who doesn't like long sort of, hey, let me sit here and think about the problem, focus on the problem before I get too frustrated. These are the sorts of games I actually kind of like because I like to think of it sort of as a little bit of a math problem.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the reason that you like chess so much. You sort of sit
chess is very
and
calming
ponder for yeah. a while, you know?
Chess is not what we would call a fast-paced game unless you play speed chess. And it forces, you know, I think that's probably why as a Ute, I liked chess. It forced me to relax a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's better, right? Ugh, good grief.
Ugh.
Tamara, I don't know, man. I'm not doing this right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is called Strata. And I think that even if you're like, I don't really have an anxiety problem, but this seems like a kind of problem-solving game that I'm into, give it a shot. Again, it's $3, so you got to be looking for something that is puzzle mode. But, it's $3.
I guess that's the thing.
I like the music.
That's the thing that you might want to say is that not... games are not necessarily for everybody calming. If you're a competitive person like me, even a soothing game like this is not calming because I want to win. We showed calm.com on our meditation show.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to reiterate that this is not a game. It's not target, there's no goal. It's just calming. I don't know. Can you hear the sound? Maybe I've turned my sound off. There we go. So you have a variety of different places, a variety of different programs, and they do... Now, I've paid for Pro, but I've forgotten my password, so I'll have to figure out what that is. But they have an anxiety release program. It's very soothing. Confidence, creativity.
Now, is that the audio on your... Oh, I see. Yeah, because it's the waves. That's
so
right.
You remember, we tried this out, and I since bought a year's subscription to this.
Did you?
And I've been using it. I really like calm.com.
A couple of people relaxing. In our chat room agree with you, by the way.
Including Jason Calacanis, who invested $473,000 in this. So, I didn't know. Believe me, I did not know before I recommended this that Jason was an investor, but I think this is great. That you get 3 scenes for free, and you've seen those, and there's many more as part of the paid version. I got the year subscription, so I got everything, because I love it. It's just fabulous.
I just think...
You want to be underwater?
Anybody who's been watching the show for the past month might be like, well, so what is up with you guys and your stress levels?
We're very stressed.
Well, I just think... I think life is very stressful. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I'm stressed constantly. It is a constant struggle to be like, let's just chill out because we're all... You know, we're connected all the time, and I don't want to get preachy about this, but it's like, I do think that contributes to me being less calm.
Yeah.
Because I'm too connected. I check things over and over, and I'm refreshing stuff, and it's like, there's enough to make you crazy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So, anyway, Sam, again, which is self-help for anxiety management.
Oh.
Tamara
is the... Right,
yes.
Tamara.
Maybe it's Tamara because I know she's French. Strata is another. And then, do you have any other... I mean, I could, of course, open up Dots right now or even 2 Dots.
Dots is not calming.
Dots is very calming to me. And
really?
Here's why. Okay, here's... This is actually something that I was talking about with somebody over the weekend.
What soothes you?
What soothes you? And they said, "Oh, but isn't it like there's that pressure to complete these dots in a specific amount of time?"
But sometimes that's focusing on something,
right.
Zoning out on it, is
exactly.
soothing.
It is. But also, there is a timed version, or there's a in a number of moves version. The timed version, I don't even mess with that.
No.
That makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're like running the clock, right?
Right.
The moves version just says, hey, you got 30 moves. You want to get as good a score as possible. So I can sit here for like an hour staring at this, trying to figure out what is actually, I mean, I'm going fast right now just because we're on the show. But sometimes I literally just sit there and look at it and think, okay, if I were to get rid of all of those reds, how would the other ones fall?
Yeah, that's like chess for me.
Yeah.
Or Words with Friends. A lot of people find that very soothing.
Sure. And I really think that makes a huge difference for me, because timed stuff is just, you know, racing the clock is that's not fun for me. That's something that seems
You know what Lisa's been playing like crazy, and I think for the same reason, I think she finds it calming, is, and we've talked about it many, many times, it was probably the program or game of the year, 2014, is Monument Valley. So let's not forget that as well. And again, no timer. I don't know. I think sometimes you might find this frustrating enough that you kind of go crazy, but I think this is... beautiful, but there's no timer. You can sit and look at it.
Sure, yeah.
And it's beautiful, right? So, and you can hear, listen to the music. I mean, it's very soothing music. Another one, Monument Valley. If you haven't played this, Lisa, you know, said, why didn't you show me this before? She loves it.
Because it's her kind of a puzzle, right? It is a puzzle. I get. Do you call it a puzzle?
Yeah, it's spatial.
Yeah.
And then it's spatial, so like in an M.C. Escher game is a puzzle, because
I don't do so well with these games.
Now. And you would find this anxiety provoking.
If I couldn't get past a certain level, yeah, I would. I do better with stuff where I'm like, hey, my high score is 250. Let me do the exact same thing again and see if I get 275. This is a little bit more of, I've reached an impasse and I don't know how to...
solve.
But what if you can't solve it? That's the thing. What if you're just like, I don't see how this is solvable, and so you're just looking at it for the rest of your life?
Well, again, I think that this depends on what it is that soothes you.
Correct.
So sometimes, for a lot of people, and I think this is one of the reasons people sometimes become geeks, what is soothing is just tuning the world out and going into something. For me, it was chess. That really just absorbs all your attention. It is meditating, because you can't be thinking about other things. It's your mantra.
You're focused. You're focused.
But different strokes, right? Everybody has their own thing that might make them anxious or soothing.
Exactly.
What a great subject, though.
I thought so. Yeah. Let's all be honest. We're a little frazzled.
Do you find cooking soothing?
Yeah.
Very much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really. And because I think, you know, a recipe is just a bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, you've got your, you know, you space out your, you know, I need a 2 teaspoons of whatever, you know, and I think it's really fun. Put everything out. Blue Apron, actually, which is another sponsor of this show often, is really good with that, because you've got all of the ingredients and you say, okay, all of this just needs to be put into some different form, and then I have a delicious soup or something like that. So I really do like cooking for that reason.
But different strokes. You know, Goat Simulator, for some, is soothing.
Sure.
There's no time. It's an open game. You just wander around. And
first-person shooters are very soothing for some.
I think a lot of people play Call of Duty as much as you and I would find that incredibly anxiety-provoking.
Totally. Frank Underwood on House of Cards. He likes to do his shoot-em-ups.
Very good point.
When he's not feeling at his best.
Very good point.
Although I don't know that we should think of him as the right person to emulate.
I think back to my early life before I achieved the great success that I have today.
Mm. Was there a time in your life that you were not as successful as this?
Many a year.
It
was stressful, I can think of games that I played kind of obsessively for periods of time.
Really?
That were associated with times in my life that were more stressful or I just wanted to escape from.
Mm.
And that game became my escape. And so I think gaming can be, if only because it's like reading a great book, same thing.
Sure.
Reading a great book will put you in an alternate reality.
I have sometimes, you know, of course, you can read lots of books on the iPad, certainly, through a variety of apps, Kindle app, the Audible app. But I have had debates with people, because I've got friends who only like nonfiction, and usually the reason is, people have the reasons, you like whatever you like, but I find that the common reason is that fiction seems like a waste of time to me. I'd rather be learning something that's real, not reading a story that doesn't actually have any bearing on reality. Hmm. And I feel completely opposite. I find it to be an escape.
Yeah.
I would like to read a book about someone else's misfortune for once, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the reason I think that some people, anyway, love a good, you know, murder mystery.
Me too.
Yeah.
Very soothing.
Yeah. Not that nonfiction isn't helpful. It certainly is.
You know what I find relaxing?
What is that?
A great pair of underwear.
Ooh. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say
that. Wow, that was an interesting reaction.
Ooh. Ooh, tee hee. No, I'm excited about this because I happen to share your sentiment.
Do you know we spend 90%, studies say, 90% of our life in underwear?
That's a lot of underwear.
Well, there's a range, but I would guess that many of you spend that much. Some spend very little time in underwear. Depends on your, you know, profession and so forth. MeUndies is our new sponsor. We're so pleased to have MeUndies, MeUndies.com.
These almost match what I'm wearing.
They have, I mean, first of all, why should your underwear be boring? Many of us wear boring underwear. That looks so cute.
I think so.
But
it's like a superhero type thing.
MeUndies not only is the most comfortable underwear you wear, it's the most stylish you'll ever wear.
These are so cute.
Two times softer than cotton. They've got polka dots. They've got plaid. They've got funky. They've got pinstripes. They've got colors. Men and women.
They've got lace.
Check out the photos yourself at MeUndies.
I can't believe I'm doing this right now.
.com/twit. Ooh, that's...
Never been worn.
Now, that's sexy.
Well, it's functional as well.
It's sexy.
Because then you don't have panty lines. Sorry.
No, that's right.
But that's not something
it's
that
not
anybody
for the guys.
Wants.
Yeah. Now, by the way, it's not all... Look, here's some beautiful socks.
Hmm.
I am a sock fanatic.
Look at...
stretch pants.
Well, they're indoor pants, I like to call them.
Indoor pants.
Pants for football.
And by the way, super
on the
couch, high... Oh, yeah, exactly what I wear during
not
football
plain.
Is purple.
Oh, I got to have elastic because I'm eating pizza.
Yeah.
You know? No jeans for me.
What's
not
nice
indoors.
This is great stuff. Typically, it would retail for twice as much, but no middleman means you save more money. MeUndies is also made from an environmentally friendly and incredibly soft fabric, which I had not heard of, but maybe you have, called Modal.
I have not.
Oh, it's kind of, I don't know how. Oh, hey, look, I got these too.
Oh.
We can be twinsies.
We got the same undies? Next week's show.
Twinsies.
Are they the same size?
Isn't that funny? You didn't get these, though, to celebrate my new hirsute.
Ah, I don't feel like I would want to wear mustaches. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that.
Are these
That's,
fun?
You know? Yeah, these are awesome.
Modal is
them.
Sourced from beechwood trees in the Austrian Alps. You're wearing trees from the Alps on your private parts or other parts.
Or your feet. If you've got a bald head, these might be a nice little cap.
Oh, wait a minute.
Nice little cap. You got holes for ears?
You know what?
Ears?
These are not... I'm sorry. I thought these were undies. This is my new mustache cap.
Aha!
Look at that. That is comfy.
You look good.
They use a CO2 neutral process. They have a very low carbon footprint. So you're saving water and energy because their spun-dyed fiber process is actually very efficient.
You know, before the show, we were talking about whether or not a T-shirt could be considered underwear.
This is MeUndies.
Yeah. I mean, they are very soft.
They fit perfectly, and they wick moisture away so you stay cool. Comfortable underwear, I'm telling you, is better than comfortable shoes. It will make your life a better life. And with MeUndies, not only are you saving money, you're saving the environment. Give yourself some good underwear. MeUndies.com/twit. We're going to get you 20% off and free shipping to boot or to panty. Save even more when you buy a pack. They guarantee you'll be happy or your first pair is free. 20% off. MeUndies. MeUndies. Those are MeUndies.
Those are MeUndies.
MeUndies.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of us.
They even have delivery from Postmates.
Now available in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. That's kind of fun. So you're like, you know what? I would like to have new underwear, but I don't want to go out and get them.
But you know,
I don't want to wait.
It comes kind of not in this nice plain brown wrapper. So, you know, nobody knows you're getting underwear by mail.
Well, hey, we all need underwear. It's not like that's, you know, we should all be singing it from the mountain. More underwear is better. You can do laundry less. If you don't have enough underwear, you're in trouble. You're doing laundry all the time.
Toad Sloth says, I don't have fun putting on my underwear. That's because you don't have MeUndies. Get some MeUndies.
Correct.
You don't have fun putting on your underwear.
That's right. Well,
you know what's fun?
What else?
Looking in your drawer and going, what should I wear?
I have so many choices of colorful undergarments. Yep. Mm-hmm. I love these ones. I mean, come on. I didn't even think about this when I got dressed today.
You match.
I sort of,
Do you do that sometimes? Like have, it's because it's a secret what you're wearing, but it's like have secret underwear on that like matches.
Mm-hmm. I do that.
You seem like that type.
It's just a little private.
And then when you get home, you take off your pants and prance around in front of the mirror?
I'm sick of myself. I never want to see that. No. Nobody does, really. But no, I don't.
I like my mustache do-rag.
It's beautiful. Yeah, just keep that on. It looks good. You know, it's funny that you could be a kitchen cook.
It actually looks like maybe I'm joining the French Revolution. Allons enfants du la patrie, la joie de gloire
est arrivée. I love iPad today. See, you never know what you're going to get on the show, as some of our chat room people are exclaiming. What in the heck? MeUndies, I love these guys. They're beautiful. Vive France!
Nice. Vive la France!
Vive la France! Hey, so there was, a fair amount of Apple news this week, as there always is. Did you read Marco Arment's...
I did.
I was about to say diatribe, and that totally wasn't what it is. It wasn't a diatribe of any means, but he is a very well-known programmer and developer.
He was the first guy at Tumblr, wrote and made a lot of money when Tumblr sold to Yahoo a few months ago.
Bit of a code whiz.
He also wrote Instapaper, which we all loved and used. He's writing now a very nice podcast client, Overcast. We've talked about that.
Yes, which I like very much.
So he's a great programmer. He's always been a Macintosh fanatic.
Yes.
And a strong advocate for Macintosh.
Exactly.
I've been saying this for some time, and sometimes people have treated me as apostate to the Mac religion, like I'm a heretic.
Well, nobody wants to hear anything. It's hard to say negative things about Apple without getting pounced on by people who don't believe that Apple can do anything
wrong. I'm just glad Marco said this, because Apple's always made the best hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But
which is the point he makes as well. Mm-hmm. Hardware, never been better.
Software, not so much.
Yeah. And he goes on to say that he really thinks it's because Apple's marketing machine is so strong right now that there is almost a war between good software and the marketing of that software. So in his opinion, and it's really about as expert an opinion as you can have, because he's actually actively
on the ground
writing the software.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Mac apps and iOS, certainly, that there seems to be something that's falling through the cracks.
We'll talk about this tomorrow on iPad Today, but I've talked about... I'm sorry, Mac Break. This is iPad Today.
Mac Break. Yeah. You want to do this again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay.
Love it.
Great.
I do this every day.
Good. Me too.
But Mac Break Weekly is tomorrow, and we will talk about it. Because I've said this before, and Renee Ritchie said, you know what, you just have a short memory. If you think about the bad old days of System 7 and System 9, it is not unusual for Apple software to have bad bugs. This happens. All software has bad bugs. And Microsoft's going through a very similar situation right now with Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not unusual. The proof is in how quickly Apple fixes it. And one thing I have said is it used to be that a Macintosh was somewhat easier to use than Windows. I think that those days are long gone.
Yeah.
That a computer, and I say this a lot now, these are genetically 99.9% identical now, Windows and Mac. And so they're really...
Yeah, the tools have different names, but they all do the same stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one's not much easier than the other. If you're a gamer, you're going to want Windows. If you're more interested in security, you don't want to worry so much about security, you're going to get Macintosh. But for this show, I guess the question is iOS 8 more buggy than previous versions of iOS? And I'm not sure that's true even.
No, but it certainly is buggy.
But this is software. I have a theory that because operating systems have become so reliable, we've set a higher bar for them. Remember, your computer would crash? And you'd have to reboot?
Sure.
Frequently. Like daily. That's how it was in the early days of computing.
Mm.
We've gotten so used to how robust and solid the iPad is. When have you last had to reboot your iPad? Probably never.
No, it's usually when an app gets weird.
Right.
And that's probably
more
an iOS.
To fix it.
Right.
Than anything else. The iOS does not blue screen.
Mm-hmm.
So is that worse software? I don't think so. I think we've just raised the bar. Our expectation has gotten higher. And so when there are bugs, and there have been, I mean, there's some weird bugs in iOS 8, we are more panicked by it because we are not quite so, frankly, hard-bitten by bugs. We've become soft.
Sure. Yeah, we need to have a tough exterior and know that bugs will happen, and so will crashes.
Bugs happen.
I assume it's a Tweetbot issue for the iPad app and not an iOS 8 issue.
You've mentioned this before, yeah.
Well, this is a different one.
A new one.
Yeah, this is a strange one. And let me tell you, so this is the iPad Air 2.
Brand new one.
Brand new, yeah, just a couple months old. And now I will show you what happens when, let's say I tweet at you, right? So I say, at Leo Laporte, where are you? Here. And I say something like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, I think I'm done. Let's go ahead and tweet it. What you will see happens to my tweet is, oh, well.
Well, look, I got it. No, hey, dude.
Here's what's been happening. Okay, well, of course it's not going to do it because I'm putting it on the spot. Usually what will happen is that it will strip out what I say, so it just looks like.
Well, I'm getting a lot of tweets from people with just Leo Laporte, so that explains
it. I think that might be what's going
on. It's a bug.
Because at first you say, oh, this person just doesn't really understand how Twitter works. But I think that that's actually a thing that people are, is something that's going on. Now, this has been happening on this iPad to the point where now I have trained myself to be like, ooh, if I tweet, I have to tweet from my iPhone or my older iPad, which is totally unacceptable. Nobody should live like that. But that's just what I've been doing because I don't know how to fix it. Maybe that's, I don't know. I wonder if it could be an issue on Twitter's end.
Because well, I don't know. This is something users shouldn't have to know or worry about.
Exactly.
And I think that's the other point that Marco is making. And in the past, Apple has positioned itself as, it just works.
Mm.
You know what? That was always marketing, Marco. It never just worked. And I don't think that that's anything new. He does make a good point, and this is the death of many a computer company. When marketing starts to take over, when the marketing department starts to tell you what features to have, that's when you get Microsoft Word or McAfee Antivirus or Symantec or Norton Antivirus, where you have 100 features that nobody uses. That's marketing-driven software. That is a bad idea. I agree 100% with you, Marco. And one of the things that has made Marco such a great programmer is simplicity. He knows when to cut features. He knows when to make it clean and simple.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is maybe less of a problem than Marco says, but I agree it's something that we should aim at, is this kind of beauty and utility that, at its best, Apple was capable of.
I think also it's an interesting year for Apple. We've got the Apple Watch. We're going to be seeing a lot more about that, seeing development associated with that. And that is something where Apple is now like, okay, we've got this new product. Marketing is a big part of this. Is what the, you know, Sarah's MacBook is very good for these things, where there's a functionality that is going to be different than the iPad. Now we've got the watch, which is possibly more limited, but the company has to convince us that we want that too. So I can see how marketing has evolved in the company to the point where it can be probably a little confusing, especially people who have been working in the Apple ecosystem for that long.
I still think the iPad, even with that. By the way, does it undermine my credibility that I'm wearing underpants?
Certainly not.
Okay.
No.
I still.
It says I'm here and I don't take myself too seriously.
I'll take them off now. I forgot. It was so comfy.
Yeah. Well, it's that fabric.
Is it called? That thing.
That Nortel? No.
No.
Nordisk? No.
Modal.
Modal. Like modal. Like a modal. Like modal. All right.
Yeah. And you know what? No, I agree with Marco to some extent, but let's say this right up front. There has never been an easier-to-use computing appliance than the iPad. It is remarkable. 2-year-olds can sit down and use it.
And they do.
And they do.
Yeah, yeah. I went to a dinner party the other night, and a couple of my friends have a little, she 2 or 3? I don't think she's 3 yet. I think she's about 2.5. And it's like, it was the difference between, not that she was a kid, right? Kids are disruptive. But it was like, she was sort of all over the place. And we were trying to kind of get her to engage with us. And, you know, she's not interested in adults. And it's like, give her the iPad. She's good to go.
And all of a sudden,
talk about anxiety reducing. It's like, oh, cool. I can play
the
my
kids,
stuff.
It's amazing.
Yeah. They love it.
And as Frankie the Waffle points out in our chat room, Apple's always had the best marketing, the best ads. Remember the hammer going through the glass?
Sure.
And that was the introduction of the Mac. So
yeah.
There've never been weaklings at marketing. I think when Steve was alive, I hate to do this, but you kind of do sometimes. When Steve was alive, he would keep a lid on marketing. He was a brilliant marketer. But he also focused on product, and he kept him focused on product.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that made him a genius, his laser-like focus on making a great product. Johnny Ive is still that way, but I don't know if you have somebody in charge who is willing to say to marketing, no, the product comes first. And then maybe that's what they need. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a time of transition for many of us.
Apple's who am I to say?
Headed for a big crash. Right. It doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. So, but a very interesting read from Marco Arment, which we will put in our show notes.
And gets a lot of interest and credit because of who he is.
Exactly. Well, he should talk about this stuff publicly.
It's as if John Gruber says, I'm going to get a Windows phone. I mean, it's like, whoa.
Wow, really?
No.
He didn't say that. No, I don't see that happening. But you know,
You never know.
It's a new year. So U.S. music, there are, because, of course, the year is starting, there are a lot of...
This beat story. Are you going to do the beat story?
Yeah. Well,
I want to know what this is all about.
Well, so the story has been for some time, reported on by a variety of outlets that what Apple wants to do is figure out how to integrate Beats better within iTunes, which makes perfect sense.
The music business is changing. People are not buying downloads.
That's correct.
14% drop this year alone.
Yeah. And which is, I mean, that's, yeah. So it's Nielsen SoundScan is where this data is coming from. Streaming music grew 54% in 2014. 54%. And that's from 106 billion songs streamed in 2013 to 164 billion in 2014. Traditional song downloads, the way that iTunes was obviously built, fell 9%. Paid downloads for full albums fell 9% in 2014. And then individual song downloads saw an even larger drop, 12%. Which is kind of interesting because, well, you've got your purists who say you buy the album or you don't buy anything at all. You know, they don't want a bunch of individual songs, and some people prefer to choose
playlists. Depends on the album. Depends on the artist. A lot of artists put out junky albums with one or two great songs and the rest filler.
Well, and a lot of people just like to make their own playlists. Right. We have a lot of you that write into us and give us tips about
how you like to
organize your collection.
That was the beginning of the end, the 99-cent single that Apple forced on the music industry. They didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the beginning of the end, when we started to say, oh, we can, a la carte.
Well, you could argue that the 45 back in the day was the same idea.
I could see you going into a record store saying, I want the latest, what was it? What was your 45?
Well, when I was a kid, I had a few of them. There was 95 by Dolly Parton. There was Tide is High by Blondie.
Yeah,
because I had a little Fisher-Price record player. And I loved my little 45 records. You put the thing in the middle, because the 45 has a bigger donut hole. I'm not using the right terminology, obviously.
Yeah, technical term.
But, after the 45s, then you had cassette singles that were way less
expensive.
Yeah,
but they didn't do that well.
When I was in junior high...
Did you buy cassette singles?
Yeah, because we didn't really have the money to just buy a bunch of albums all the time. Right. But you could have, get like, what's the song? Like, Whoomp, There It Is.
Whoomp, There It Is.
Yeah. I bought that single, that cassette single.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
My first 45 was?
What?
The Beatles. I saw her standing there.
Aww.
That's how old I am.
Aww, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay.
I was a kid.
So, I don't, I know that certain artists are appalled by the way that this streaming music thing seems to be finally taking off. It did. Streaming music, it's not like it existed. It didn't just come about in the last year or so. It's existed for some time. But I think a lot of these services, Spotify, Beats, that is Apple-owned, Urdio, Songza.
As a consumer, I love it.
I can't even keep track of who owns
Songza
what anymore.
Songza is owned by Google.
Google, yeah. Google bought
it. As a consumer, I love it. But I think the record industry, for sure, and as artists, perhaps, are not so happy. But
you know what I think is kind of interesting, just because we were talking about vinyl, is that vinyl record sales are at their highest levels since SoundScan, Nielsen SoundScan, started tracking music sales in 1991.
But really, let's be honest, 1991, albums were long gone even in 1991.
Yeah, but why are people buying more now than then?
Because they weren't supposedly buying any going in 1991.
But we have so many more tools to go even farther away from the old way.
The heyday of the CD was 1991. That's when it was just like boom.
You know what I think it is?
What?
And I'm not even kidding. I think that there are so many tools on something like the iPad, like DJ, and what was the app that I showed off last week, which was another really easy DJ app if you're going to have a New Year's Eve party or whatever. I think a lot of those apps are so easy to use and fun that people say, you know what? I'm really talented. I'm a DJ. And then they buy two turntables and start buying vinyl and get really hipstery and then have ironic mustaches. That's what
or,
I think. I really think that that's part of it.
Ironic mustache underwear.
Or that. Those are very ironic mustaches.
That must be who this is for.
Hipsters?
The ironic mustache.
Hipsters
wearer.
Who also like a good pair of undies made of modal.
Modal?
Modal. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, it's just kind of an interesting trend that the music industry is going through. I've been really in love with my streaming audio service lately. Yeah. And that also has to do with there are a lot of like cool albums that come out around the holidays. Certain months are better than others for new music.
Google Play Music I like a lot because it allowed me to upload my 25,000, I think it was, songs to it. So it has my whole library. Mm-hmm. Steve Martin wrote to me, said he's been using that because his problem was he's making his own music.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have that on some cloud service, and it would upload it to the Google Cloud, and there it is, plus all the paid stuff. And then there's plus Google All Access has the same 25 million cuts that the other libraries have. So you really have everything that you'd ever want. And then there's a button that says, I'm feeling lucky. Remember that in Google search? You say, I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah.
And it just makes a radio station out of what you like.
They all kind of do that, don't they?
But it's magic.
Sometimes it does seem magic. If I put on, let's say, an artist station where I'm like, I would like to hear some Rick Ross audio. And then
that's like Pandora.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a station based around an artist.
Yeah.
But this one's based on my entire collection.
I see. So it's actually, it knows enough about your collection to start, like, putting things in.
And then it makes stations. Like, it made a country station based on the country music that I like. It was interesting.
That's fun.
Yeah, I'm feeling lucky button.
And you didn't. And that's the funny thing about music. I think that's why services like anything that's sort of an artist radio station, Pandora, or the others, they know that often we're like, I know what I like, but I just don't want to choose everything right now. Just play me a good station.
Shall I try it now and see?
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Let's see what I'm feeling. I'm feeling lucky. Where is that? Radio. Let's go to the radio. And so, and then create new station. And then there's the I'm feeling lucky station. And then see, and then it even rolls the dice to see. And they've decided that Seth Sentry, the waitress song, which I've never heard of.
I don't know
who he is. I don't know what the song is.
Is it about all waitresses or just a special one?
But it's based, I guess, on my love of singer-songwriters, piano, and background noise. Together at last.
And we're looking at the album cover that's sort of doing a Ken Burns thing.
Yeah, isn't that pretty?
Yeah. This is not very country, is it?
I like it. No, that's what I'm saying. It's different every time.
Ah, okay, I see it. Yeah, because you're feeling lucky. And you say, I like it, Seth Sentry. You can airplay it, of course.
And the Fundamentals.
The Fundamentals. I see what they did there. It's like fundamental, but also thunderous.
Now, here's another interesting. By the way, this is on your iPad. It is an iPhone app. Here's another interesting thing. Because I pay for All Access Music, I also have All Access YouTube. I press this button.
And now you watch the video.
I'm going to watch the video as I'm listening, and it will continue to play my radio station.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, because other words, you'd feel like it was disjointed.
Yeah, no ads either. Is that wild?
Wow. Yeah.
The Fundamentals.
You got some dishes to do, honey. Sheesh.
That's because she's been...
She's got a small fridge. What's going on here? I need to know more about her. The milk's bad.
Oh, it's bad roommate.
Uh-oh.
That's the problem. It's in the tub.
Yeah,
and you know what? Long hair means clogged drain.
Means don't care.
There's a whole story. Long hair means don't care.
Oh, and the story of my life. Yeah. Story of my life. Yeah. I don't think he's up to any good in
there. He has an ironic mustache, too, by the way.
He has ironic everything. He's ironically bathing.
Uh-oh.
Up. Oh.
Boom.
Oh.
Boom. It's a root ball.
Oh! Well, that didn't end well at all. I didn't see that one coming.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness.
That was
an interesting way to start that show. But don't you see how much fun we're having?
Well, we wouldn't
and
have,
now
we wouldn't
I can airplay it to
it.
My Apple TV. Yeah. We could be watching it on TV. This is a party in a box.
Yeah, it is.
Let me stop it, because even if I exit out now, it'll continue to play.
Well, that... Oh, because it knows that you probably want it in the background, right?
It's my background music. It even says that now with YouTube. It says, did you know you could continue to play this in the background?
Which is nice, because that used to be an annoying thing about mm-hmm. YouTube. So what do you think about this whole class action lawsuit that Apple has been hit with? I think it was almost a week ago now.
Is it still going on?
Yes.
It's such a joke.
Yeah, so it's basically consumers saying, well, wait a second. If I buy an iOS device with a certain amount of storage, I'm not actually getting anywhere near that amount of storage
because Iowa State takes up so much room. Now, I don't know, man.
Every phone. Every tablet.
Yeah.
Every computer.
Everyone.
Has stuff on it when you get it home.
Or it would just be a piece of rocks. Metal. A piece of metal and maybe some nice Gorilla Glass that doesn't do anything.
When they do a class action lawsuit that says Apple shouldn't sell a 16-gigabyte iPhone, maybe I'll join. Because that's too small.
Well, that's the argument.
But don't buy a 16 gigabyte. Get a 32, and you get plenty of space.
Renee Ritchie and I were talking about this last week. I think when we were both here for the New Year's Eve extravaganza that we had here on Twitter, and he was saying, it just seems like okay. Well, you need more storage then. You're the kind of person who needs more storage.
Don't buy a 16 gig iPhone.
If you need,
some people that's enough.
It's true. Some people don't care about local storage, really. I'm kind of one of those people. I like everything to be synced in the cloud as long as it's working correctly.
I think those will be thrown out. But the truth, or maybe Apple will say, okay, we'll put on the box, 16-gigabyte iPhone, 5 gigabytes free, or something like that. That would be a useful thing to know how much free. We actually will do that in our reviews. If it's a situation, it was a situation like that with the Samsung Galaxy S4, there was very little free space on a 16 gig version because so much was taken up by the Samsung software. And we reported that. I think that that's a good thing to report, probably a good thing to put on the box. But come on, a class action lawsuit? It's not like they tricked you.
I love how the lawyers, too, say, this is William Anderson, a lawyer at the law firm that's representing some folks. We feel that there are a substantial number of Apple consumers that have been shortchanged and will be pursuing the claims vigorously.
And we'll make sure they each get their 50-cent settlement while we get $50 million.
Yes, we're lawyers, after all.
Seriously, class action lawsuits very often are created by the law firm because it's a great way to make money for the law firm.
Sure.
Very rarely does a member of the class get very much.
No.
Have you ever gotten a check or a credit or a voucher? I have, even from Apple.
Once in a while.
A few bucks.
Yeah. Sometimes you're sort of like,
why?
Is this even worth
cost
a trip
them more
to
mail it to me than
yeah,
it did.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a $2 balance on a Bloomingdale's card. Right. And
And the thing is, the right settlement
is more than that.
The correct thing to do would be to sue and say, look, Apple, you don't have to give us $100 million damages. What we'd like you to do is put that on the box. And Apple says, okay, we'll put that on the box. Mm-hmm. Then that's a good outcome from consumers. But that's not what the law firm wants, because if they don't get big cash damages, then they've wasted a lot of time.
You know, there was a case in Canada a couple of years ago that was basically the same. It was claims that Apple had misled consumers about the storage capacity of iPods. And that didn't go anywhere, so,
I suspect this will be thrown out, but maybe not.
Well, hasn't yet.
You can't tell with the courts these days.
Hasn't yet.
You don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, their precedent's being set left and right.
I've learned that from watching The Good Wife.
I don't watch that show, but you know who loves it? Ron Richards of All About Android.
A lot of people love that show.
He's the only person I know. You're the second.
Almost every show, because they're trying to convince the client not to go to court, you don't know what's going to happen. Trials are unpredictable. They say it almost every show. Trials are unpredictable. Mm. So I've learned that lesson.
Right.
Can't predict a trial.
You just don't know how it's going to be. There are a lot of moving parts. We got to ask Leo a question from Rich in Westbury, New York, who writes in often. Hello, Rich. He says, I like to play around with iOS betas, but sometimes a new beta will just mess up my device and I want to go back. But when I do, what I want to do is restore from an iCloud backup. But when I try to do that, iOS tells me that my most recent backup is from too new of an OS. Is there a way to make sure I hold on to an older iCloud backup?
This is hard for me not to yell at him, so I'm not going to yell.
You don't have to yell. Remember, this is an anxiety-free show.
No anxiety.
No
blame.
No.
But that's what happens when you install betas of the operating system. And remember, these betas are not for you to play with. The whole point of the beta is for Apple to get feedback from serious beta testers. You can be one of them. That's nice. On bugs, flaws, and issues. You will have bugs. You will have flaws. You will have issues. It's not release software. And they almost always make it hard, if not impossible, to go backwards. They tell you that. There's a reason they tell you that. That's why they tell you that. Because it's hard for them I don't know. Is there a magic way to go back to the previous version? It's not guaranteed, and this is not just Apple. It's Microsoft. It's frequently a problem in beta. Remember this. When you're using beta software, you're very clearly making a deal, and they do spell it out as best they can, that, you know, you're going to go through this. It's going to be unreliable. It's going to be incomplete, and you may not be able to go back. You can restore from zero, and that's probably something he doesn't want to do. He wants to get all his apps and stuff. You can certainly bring it back, you know, roll it back that way, I think. And the tricks on that are, if worst case, DFU mode, which to me, that acronym could have several readings.
Sure.
But it's to force the system to roll back. DFU mode will get you back to the original operating system if you really need to, but you'll lose everything on it. You kind of agreed to that when you said, I'm going to do a beta.
Yeah. That's... All right.
And as somebody in the chat room, Corey Dog,
you straight, Rich.
Corey Dog in the chat room said, if you have to ask that question, you probably shouldn't have been using beta in the first place.
Well, that, I mean,
and that we could blame Apple or blame us for not being very, 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 very clear.
Sure.
Don't do it unless you know what you're doing.
You know, a lot of people, too, it's not just like, oh, if you don't understand iOS really well, then you have no business with betas. I know a lot of people who develop for iOS, and they don't mess with betas either. I mean,
I don't.
You know, it's just like, hey, it's not stable. I want to know actually how it's working before I put a lot of time and effort into, you know, making tools that the rest of us are going to be using or even using other people's tools. So that's really common of people saying, don't even screw with the beta unless you're just super curious because you might be disappointed.
I never. What does DFU stand for? I'm trying to look it up.
I don't know.
I don't think it's diabetic foot ulcer. Let's see. I don't know. Chat room will know.
DFU.
Dumb effing user? No.
I don't think so. That doesn't seem very nice. Device firmware utility mode.
Thank you.
There you go.
And if you search on YouTube for your model of phone and DFU, there's a video, because there is a kind of step-by-step you have to go through of how to do it, and it's not hard. And you will be able to roll back, then update. And if you have a backup before you did this, chances are you'll be able to restore that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I would like to do?
What?
And sometimes when I'm feeling anxious, I think to myself, do I have enough skills in life? You know, am I really, you know, am I living up to my potential? You know, maybe I, you know, I've got a future in plastics or something. And I think, well, you know, it would be nice if in my spare time I could learn a little something.
I feel like if you went to lynda.com.
Lynda.com, you say?
This would be a good time. You know, we're beginning a new year. Perhaps you'd like to get a better job or maybe get a raise at your current job.
Yeah.
By your amazing skills. That's what lynda.com is all about. And maybe it's just your hobby. Maybe you, like me, I love photography. I'll never be a pro. But I love to learn. I love to learn how to use Lightroom. I love to learn how to use Photoshop. There is no better place than Lynda, LYNDA.com. This is where you can kickstart your new year. Challenge yourself. Learn something new. We've got a free 10-day trial for you. You'll have access to every one of their 4,500 courses. Courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, business skills, too, resume building, time management, software training like Excel, WordPress, Photoshop. And what I love is all of the courses are taught by experts. Many of the people we've had on our shows, people like Bert Monroy, just really people who are, I mean, this is kind of, imagine sitting at the knee of somebody who is a master at a program and a great teacher to boot and learning. And that's what lynda.com is about. New courses are added every week. And I think you will find something to just make you happy. Programming with iOS, great stuff there. Or iOS 8, iPhone and iPad essential training. You got to learn that, right? Setting up your mobile office to work from anywhere. You'll be sending us duh tips from your schooling. We love lynda.com. I learn all the time there. I'm doing Lightroom courses there. I just love it. I love Bert Monroy's Photoshop courses.
Bert Monroy has been, I mean, he's been the Photoshop guy since, you know, I was 20.
It's like to paint from Vincent van Gogh. I mean, you are really, this is the guy.
He really is.
Yeah.
And there are so many tutorials like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love they have a new thing on coding if you want to learn how to write software.
Because I never
Oh, it's
I don't
great.
Really know what I'm doing. It's like I just need a good tutorial, though.
Yeah. Well,
you've got interest.
You hit the nail on the head. I think it is soothing to learn something new. I loved learning.
Oh, I think it is.
Humans are learning machines. That's what we do.
And it reminds you that, hey, the world's a little bit bigger maybe than whatever you've got going on today or tomorrow. There's other skills that you can have. It's very enriching. It really is.
E-tronics got it. He says Steve Jobs studied calligraphy and fell in love with fonts and typefaces, and that led to, this was in college, that led to everything we love about Apple, its beautiful design sense. This, you could be the next Steve Jobs. Go to lynda.com. Do something good for yourself in 2015. Sign up for our free 10-day trial. L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com/iPad today. When you get that 10-day membership, you'll have access to every course on lynda.com, including access on your iOS device, your iPad, Android devices too, plus new courses as they're added each week. lynda.com/iPad today. I've known Linda Wyman, the founder of lynda.com. That's her in the picture there. Since the screensavers. Remember, we used to have her come on and talk about web design and stuff?
Yeah.
lynda.com/iPad today. Try it free for 10 days. Great company. Really great products. Highly recommended. lynda.com.
Good work getting that domain, too, Linda.
Yeah.
That's very, can't you never forget that?
Nope.
L-Y-N-D-A. That's actually a cool way to spell Linda.
That's how she spells it.
Yeah.
I think they also own L-I-N-D-A, just in case.
Oh, yeah.
But the special, I got to say, often the special codes, like lynda.com/iPad today, you have to go to the Y version. They didn't make it work with the I version.
I see. Yeah.
That's why I say
it. Well, you just remember it. You know, it's the cool way.
Yeah.
We got an email from Colin, who says, in your last iPad Today show, you mentioned that if you buy a song on iTunes, you can't re-download it off of iTunes without iTunes Match. He says, no, that's outdated information.
Oh, I'm old.
You can re-download apps, music, TV shows, and movies purchased out of the iTunes store without iTunes Match.
Always?
But what you get with iTunes Match is you can then also re-download songs that you didn't purchase from iTunes. So that might be in your library.
Okay.
He says that includes matched music, uploaded music purchased from other stores like Amazon or ripped off a CD.
I should have paid attention because this was a big deal with Apple. In fact, they would say this. When you bought a CD.
I didn't realize it had changed.
What do you call it? When you bought a record. Not a CD, obviously, it's digital.
An LP.
They would say, remember, treat this like a CD, because if you lose it, you're not going to get it from us again. And we used to tell people, call them. Sometimes they say, okay, I'm going to let you re-download everything. So you're telling me now, if I buy something on iTunes, I can, and then accidentally erase it, I can, even without iTunes Match, I can download it again? I didn't realize they did that. Thank you. That's a great improvement. You know why they do this. It's a record company. Record company doesn't want you to re-download it. So Apple's probably got a little more clout than they used to.
I suppose so.
Yeah, that's great.
We also got a video question from Brett, who's got, he's asking us some stuff about design.
Hey, Sarah and Leo. I've been a fan since back in the ZDTV days. Do you know of an app where I can design like a half-page magazine and then perhaps send that off and have it printed and sent back to me, or just to design one and then have it sent to a printer using my iPad? Thank you very much.
Used to be able to do that with pages.
An answer.
Well, you kind of still
can. They might have taken that out. I don't know. They stripped out so much functionality in pages.
Well, I don't think that there's a printing option that's built in, but there certainly are templates that make it look kind of magazine-y. Later, iCloud for
So he wants an app that will...
He was saying, use Keynote. Here, I'm actually pulling up Keynote because Keynote has some kind of interesting templates as well. Create presentation. Well,
certainly, the templates aren't the issue. It's then saying, print this, and having it come back in glossy printing.
Yeah, but you could do, okay.
Because we talked about...
That's more of a question of, is your iPad connected to a printer in some way, right?
Remember Andy Hertzfeld has the postcard program, right? Where it will send, you can create a postcard, and then it will send a physical postcard through the mail. I think he's kind of thinking like that. Like part of the application is, or like with the iPhoto and ordering a photo album, the part of the application is I can order it and have it sent to me.
Now, Brett didn't say this specifically, but I know he is a pastor, so I think it might have something to do with maybe being able to print out cool stuff that you've put together on your iPad
certainly.
That a bunch of people would get physically.
Yeah, certainly pages and others can make you do half-page pamphlet, program-style pamphlets, which you could then print yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could download, you know, remember Blurb, B-L-U-R-B,
yeah.
and Lulu?
Yeah.
These are websites that had application software. It worked on a Mac just fine. That would let you design this, and then they would print that for you. I wonder if either has an iPad app. That would be really smart if they were paying attention.
Yeah, because I'm looking through pages, and it's like there are a lot of templates. Flyers and posters seem to be, we're getting into the right.
Lots of them.
Yeah, I mean, I know Brett specifically said magazine. Some of the stuff I think would work quite nicely. And really, it's just, you know, it's a matter of putting in your own photos rather than
Bill
the
Atkinson.
Lorem Ipsum, you know, elementary that they've got here. But it can, you know, this can be certainly a good jumping off point. But yeah, what you need at some point is the ability to print. Now, I don't have anything set up. I mean, you do have certain AirPrint functionality, you know, on a Wi-Fi network with your iPad. I'm not connected to anything right now. I don't even think we have AirPrint compatible printer in the studio. But, you know, that would certainly get you started.
Here's one called Milk Photo Books.
Ooh.
Now, these are photo books very much like photo books from iPhoto.
Boy, the word milk sure is popular, isn't it?
Yeah.
Photo books and Samsung. And
got milk. Who doesn't have milk?
Yeah,
Everybody loves milk.
Nobody wants osteoporosis.
No, certainly not.
I don't.
MagCloud. I don't think that either of those are that. So Blurb doesn't have a iPad app. Boy, this is a really big opportunity for them.
Well, and we're getting a lot of people in chat saying, well, export as PDF, that sort of thing.
We understand that. There's tons of ways to do that.
Talk about physical stuff, I'm pretty sure.
But what we're thinking is, wouldn't it be cool to have an app that would let you design a church program, say, press print.
Yeah.
It would send it to a service bureau like Lulu or Blurb, print it, and you'd get a box back a week later. You can do that with photo albums. Milk will do that with photo albums.
Sure.
And I bet you they have a format that's pretty close to what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, even with the photo albums, you could put text in as well as photos. What I saw him hold was full color, it looked like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And had pictures. So I would start there.
I think, you know, what we might need, Brett, is a couple days to look at a few options and see. And people who have already done this successfully will email us. So we'll get some other recommendations for apps that we've probably never even heard of. But, yeah, I just wonder how specific you're looking to make something. I mean, if you really want it to look like a magazine cover, that's, I bet that exists.
Yeah.
But I would think you might be almost better off with something like Pages, which Apple is, you know, it's a pretty robust program that Apple already provides.
Simple enough, frankly,
to
create a layout. That's not, there's tons of programs that will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either AirPrint or you email a PDF to a printer. What we're looking for is like kind of an all, I mean, I presume that if that's all he's looking for, you just got a dozen answers. Pages is a great place to start. It's free. You got it.
Sure.
But if what you're looking for is something like iPhoto, where it will do soup to nuts, you know, and then you get a box in the mail, we don't know of one yet, but we'll find it.
Yeah, we'll find it.
I'm sure. That is a real opportunity for both Blurb and Lulu. These are print-on-demand companies where if you're an author, and you could do this on your desktop, you create a book or a pamphlet or whatever, or a catalog or a program, and then it's sent to Lulu. They have desktop software that does this. And then they do a print-on-demand thing. Golly. Design Pad. Quark Design Pad.
Ooh. I haven't heard of that one.
Quark Express, of course, is the one that for years all the magazines used. Let me look at Design Pad.
Quark. Design Pad. Reminder that we love hearing from all of you. You're just wonderful people. And some of you may actually be cats. And that's great because you know how to type. If you would like to send us an email, it's iPadToday@twit.tv. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, that's cool too. 757-504. iPad is the Google voicemail box for us. And of course, like Brett, if you're thinking, you know what, I want you to see me and hear me and I am just awesome and I have no fear, I want to be featured on the show, then of course you could send us a video. Brett used YouTube, sent us the link. It worked like a charm. So thanks to everybody who gives us feedback and ideas and asks us questions each week. It's a lot of fun to interact with you, however many ways that we can. And a quick reminder that we record the show on Mondays between Triangulation and Twiet, at least for now. I think Twiet's moved to a different day. I don't know. Live schedule. The schedules are hard. But we record the show at 12:30 or so Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern. And thanks to everybody who watches us live.
If you speak German, Leaflet.
He's a German leaflet printing program.
Benign Berliner.
Cork design pad does look like it could do something like that. So there are certainly choices out there. Somebody's saying Bulletin? What was it? Oh, Bulletin Plus in the App Store. We'll let you. That's kind of what he's talking about is Church Bulletin, right? Mm-hmm. Bulletin Plus. Let's take a look at that one. That sounds interesting.
But it's online.
It's Church Bulletin. It's an online. Isn't that funny? This is an online Church Bulletin.
Oh, it's actually specifically
but
for churches.
But I don't know
that's
if this
cool.
prints it. But that's certainly one to look at.
You know, he didn't say. Did he say he wanted it physically printed? I thought
I misunderstood.
I thought that's what he said.
Well, if he didn't, if he wants to do an online,
yeah, that's a whole other bag of worms.
It's free. Bulletin
bag
plus
of beans, can Pixar. Of worms. That's what I'm thinking of.
Can of corn.
Can of corn, creamed corn. In fact, hey everybody, guess what time it is? It's time for the AppCap Awards. If you haven't noticed, I'm blinking.
You found the on-off button. We thought you would. We would have to show you that.
Really? You don't think much of me, do you? I know a thing or two about electronics.
Not me. It's your arch nemesis.
Who?
Jeff Needles.
Oh, Needles. Come on. That clown. All right. So thank you, Jeff. I like my AppCap. He chooses them for us each week. This is part of his job now. So that's cool.
Yeah.
This is part of the show where Leo and I put on
I think this is marginally
hats.
Better than having a bald head.
I would say in this case, I wouldn't call this a hat. It's more of a very fun...
Niners mask.
Well, yeah.
Am I wearing it well, right? Should the nose come out
It's a Lucha Libre mask,
yeah.
right?
Should the nose come
I believe it's for, yeah, you to breathe. I think. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You gotta breathe.
Looks kind of strange.
While you're wailing on your opponents.
Like, I guess a mod coming out of there.
I've just got a cool headband that's very festive. And requires me to do this so that you can see how
that's
beautiful they are.
Pretty.
It's like the old, you know, it's like a lava lamp for your dome.
Yeah, it's an electronic tiara.
Yeah, okay, there you go. It's a tiara. I'll walk over to Petaluma Market wearing this. It won't be weird at all. So, is he not wearing it right? Oh, apparently you're...
No, yours.
Oh, mine. Oh, yeah, I don't want to wear it like a mohawk. That's...
Why did he say that?
Then the thing would come down over my face. Like
what's wrong with him?
Like some sort of a gladiator. You know, even I have my limits. Hey, so I'm going to go ahead and start with my AppCap. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I wanted the geeks to get the best seats. And that was because I want to highlight an app called SeatGeek.
SeatGeek.
SeatGeek. Which is actually what's cool about SeatGeek is... This is, hey, what are the kinds of things that you need? Hey, does this seem dark to you guys? Yeah, let's turn this up a tiny bit. What kinds of you know, events do you need or want good seats for? Perhaps it's a sporting event. Maybe it's Anthony Green, who's playing at the Regency Ballroom in about 9 days from now. So what it's doing now is it's hooking up with a variety of services. Last.fm is one of those. I haven't thought about Last.fm in a while.
They're still around.
Yeah, but I've got all of this data on...
Dave Matthews. I'd like to see Dave Matthews.
I would, too.
Yeah, I like
you know, I saw Dave Matthews once, and I thought it was a lot of fun,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah.
And so these are artists that... Last.fm is already aware that I like or have listened to quite a
Black
bit, right?
Sabbath and Bjork. It's an interesting combination.
Yeah, well, it's in alphabetical order. But, you know, some of these groups I've, like, kind of forgotten about a little bit. You know, Pixies, always loved them. Now, of course...
They're not touring.
Well, yeah, that's actually a really bad example because they've, you know, whatever.
Not touring. But, Ladytron, how about them? Are they touring?
Well, you know, Interpol has a new album, so I wonder if they're touring.
Look
yeah.
at that. Look
Certainly,
at that.
It looks like everything that they're doing in the first half of this year is happening in Europe.
Yeah.
But eventually they'll get up. Yeah, this is all... Yeah, they get to Boston in November. We got some time. Got some time to get myself over there. But these are just performers that I can then say, yeah, you know what, I'm really interested in tracking them. I'm already tracking this band. But let's say you want to search for, I don't know, who do you like? You like Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
Is he touring?
He's touring.
There you go.
He's with a
yeah, actually,
duet.
In fact, he is. He's touring California right now. He's singing
with Miley Cyrus or something.
Oh,
Who's he singing with? I can't remember.
Well, if you would like to see Willie Nelson at the City National Grove of Anaheim on January 6th at 8 p.m., what SeatGeek will say is, okay, well, we're pulling from a bunch of places where people buy tickets, and we can tell you that seats are going to be around just over $100, right?
Okay.
Now, in some cases...
There are no tickets.
There'll be a marketplace. Sometimes you can say, all right, let's, you know, I'm really serious about this,
By the official...
Yeah, let's go ahead and check the box office where you could actually purchase a ticket through the app. This is actually, this is just a browser window, basically. But then, you know, again, it's not just musical acts, because I think some people are sort of like, yeah, well, I don't really ever go to, you know, concerts.
Oh, you should.
Well, you should, but you sometimes should. You
don't. Nothing like live music is
sometimes
awesome.
You don't. Would you like to see the San Jose State Spartans play basketball?
Oh, indeed.
Well, yeah, that's my mom's alma mater, right? So maybe she would like to see the Spartans play the Colorado State Rams. $40 for a ticket.
What?
That's easy.
What?
And so you see Section 5, there's 6 tickets left. What? Section 2, a couple tickets.
What about courtside?
Do they say things like that? I'm just teasing you. Oh, I see.
Don't worry about
it. All right.
I'm not really.
Gosh, you know, I didn't realize college tickets cost anything.
That's a lot.
I obviously don't go to enough college games.
That's a lot.
I thought you just walked in and said, hi, I'm a student.
See, you're looking me in the eye socket.
I was.
That's really good communication technique. You're looking right in the eye socket.
I was kind of looking below your eye socket. I'm interested in the stitching on your mask. It's also a little asymmetrical, which I think works well to your advantage. One eye is kind of not even there. Right, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, this is SeatGeek. I think that it is, first of all, it's free. I think it's just a great resource if you're sort of like, listen, I might be in an area that, maybe you live in an area, you know, like San Francisco where I live. There's a lot of stuff coming through town. You got sports games. You got lots of different music venues. It can be a little bit challenging to keep track of all that stuff. And you don't want to overpay for something that you don't need to overpay for. So it gives you a really good overview of, yeah, what you can kind of expect. I can add performance to my favorites, and I can say, send me push notifications if Radiohead decides to come through San Francisco. Like, I want to be completely on that, which I would. And there you go. Yeah.
Nice.
And of course, you can add events to your own calendar if you just want to be, like, really crazy about it. I have friends who, I swear, will go to a music show, not even, like, a big artist, just little tiny venues, 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And that if you're doing that, you would definitely want to be more organized about it.
This is how artists make money now, is live performance.
That's
and
right.
I have to say, there's nothing like live music. Go see. We have a jazz club in town, you know, now.
I heard.
It's in the old sex shop.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
It's right down here.
Well, it's I guess that must have been a pretty large shop.
It was a big store.
Now it's a jazz club.
It's kind of a superstore.
They go hand in hand in a way.
Yeah,
everybody likes a little cool jazz.
So, as you know, one of my quests in life is to know what the kids are doing.
I like
to keep up
with a kid at heart, after all.
What the kids are up to these days. And I have learned that the game of games today among the young people combines a classic you and I might remember called Frogger with Minecraft to give you 8-bit Crossy Roads. And you know what? This is Frogger even better.
It's really hard.
Free in-app purchases.
Hard for me anyway.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
Hipster Whale.
Yeah.
It is challenging, and some people actually call it a little bit like Flappy Bird-ish, because it has that 8-bit look.
Sure. That's all the rage with the kids, you know, back to basics.
It's not as hard as Flappy Bird. So here's the deal. What's nice is the UI is simple. Just like Flappy Bird, there's only two controls. There's tap and swipe. You have to swipe to move sideways, like that, you see. And this is the training. And that's it. You're done. You're trained.
But the hard part hasn't started yet.
Well, now we have to jump
into traffic. You gotta cross the road. Don't get... All right. Ah! Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This is very anxiety-inducing for me. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We're trying to collect the C's.
Don't get... Oh, you're very good at this.
Oh, I hit it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's get a free gift. What do you say?
Sure.
Open up that gift. What's inside?
What do we got?
110 coins. All right. So you see, we want to collect coins. Those are the little C's you'll see as you're crossing the road.
It rewards you for going fast?
No. I mean, it gives you a goal, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, you did that on purpose.
I want to show you.
Death wish.
If you have some coins, you can pull the lever and get a new character. You can also buy characters with in-app purchases. I hope I get the horse.
And it is.
I got the frog.
Oh, he's cute.
Desert frog. All right.
You know, the desert frog has been persecuted his whole life.
It's been a hard life.
Get him across the road safely, will you?
He has no home. Look at this. 4 lanes, heavy traffic. Oh! I just went a little bit too far, a bridge too far. If you played Frogger, you'll recognize all the same kind of types. Actually, I think the railroad is kind of an advanced type. Those trains move fast.
You are...
Isn't it fun?
Well, you're good at it, I think.
I played a lot of Frogger in my youth.
This is frightening for me.
So this is
Frogger
endless.
It was too anxiety-provoking. Oh, Desert Frog can't swim.
Desert Frog needs to hit a log.
You know, Desert Frog, you got to learn to swim, man.
This is a game you will love. I think so. It really is enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. Here comes the train. Watch out. Ooh, see how fast that goes?
Yeah.
So it's easy to get hit by the train. Whoops. Oh, that was close. Fortunately, I'm still early on. The traffic's not moving that fast.
It seems quite fast.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh. All right.
I love it when you hit a car.
The car. I love that the car beeps at you.
Lots of other.
Get out of the road, you frog.
There are in-app purchases, but as far as I can tell, you don't really need them. Let's see. What should we? Conserve battery. Mute. No shadows. Restore purchases. Language.
Oh, so you even have a little bit of. You have some design options.
Share this with your friends. Oh no, you know, if there's a funny image, you could do that. And, of course, the leaderboards, but I'm not a leader because I'm not in game.
Now, Crossy Road is all the rage, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
However, I've got some allies in chat that say, no, this is very anxiety-inducing. So you got to be, like,
watching it is more anxiety-inducing, frankly.
Maybe it is. Sort of like how when someone's driving and you're like, you're the worst driver ever, like my grandma used to be. It's much, much worse than just being a bad driver.
Yeah,
is having
backseat.
To be in the car with the bad driver because you don't know what they're going to do next.
Backseat driver.
Sorry, Grammy, but you were a very bad driver.
Oh, I really was tempted to jump through that hole, but I've decided not to.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that. I want that coin.
Oh,
I missed it.
Okay. All right. This is
good. Can't go backwards.
This is a good one. Now, Crossy Road is free, right?
Yeah.
So. Oh! Like you were on the edge. Well, that was unfortunate.
I love this game.
Oh, it's good stuff.
It is really fun.
It's Crossy Roads, everybody.
Crossy Road.
And it's Leo Laporte's app cap for the week.
Love it.
I love it, too. And you know what else I love? Being able to say another successful show is come and gone here on iPad Today. We're at the end of our show. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Of course, I mentioned when our show was live, but you can always go to twit.tv/IPT. That is where all of our show archives live. You can watch the videos right there on all the pages. Maybe you missed a week or two. I know everybody's been traveling a lot for the holidays. Or you just say, you know, they talked about this one app, and it was sometime in late November, and I just don't remember exactly what it was. Have all our show notes in there as well. So hopefully it's never hard to remind yourself of anything that we talked about on each show. Yeah, we've got our links down on each of our episode pages, and you can subscribe to the show right on those episode pages as well. And a million different ways to watch and listen to what is now a very interesting and hip medium, the podcast.
Yes, we're with it. We're hip.
We're hip.
Now. We're happening.
Yeah.
Pioneering.
Where's your little lollipop?
It's right here.
A candy sucker?
Nothing like a coffee candy sucker.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's two in one. Coffee and sugar. All right, everybody. Thanks for...
I got the fluffy sheep.
...for being with us.
I love the fluffy sheep.
Oh, you got the fluffy sheep?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't let that sheep get hit by a train.
Oh, no.
Oh, how fluffy it looks as well. All right, everybody. See you next week on iPad Today.
Previously on Twit.
5, 4, 3, 2, start the fog machine.
Welcome to Twit's 24 hours of 2015. And I want to remind you that this is not just some gratuitous silliness. We're raising money for UNICEF. Happy New Year, New Zealand! So far, thanks to your generosity, $23,885. If we get to $40,000 for UNICEF, man, I'd be so happy to shave my head. Oh, my God! If we get to $50,000, I promise you that tattoo is going right on my tush.
Oh, my God.
Let's get him in the air.
It's time for Game of Drones.
Oh, man, and he broke the prop.
Oh, my God, I killed him.
We're crazy here.
How good was that?
Oh, my God. The moon is rising.
Happy New Year, Korea!
All of the UK.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Melbourne,
bye,
New York
bye,
City.
Jeff.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2015 from all of us at TWiT. And thank you for joining us on our 24 hours of 2015.